Vishnu Pad, Padamahansa, Padivajakacharya, Astakara, Satyashishiman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki
Jai.
Jai Vishnu Pad, Padamahansa, Padivajakacharya, Astakara, Satyashishiman, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Ki
Jai.
Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrindaki Jai. Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, yeah. Pram, Shikaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasa Digora, Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar, Gopa Gopina, Shama Kund, Radha Kund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki
Jai,
Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam
Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Satojayamudirayat Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya
Bhagavati
uttama
shloke
Bhaktir bhavati naistaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed in loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 9, text number 9. This chapter is called The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. Tam Sametan Mahabhagan.
Tam Sametan
Mahabhagan.
Tam Sametan Mahabhagan.
Upalabhya Vasuttama.
Upalabhya Vasuttama.
Upalabhya Vasuttama.
Upalabhya Vasuttama.
Kunjayan Asa Dharma Gyo. Desha Kala Vibhagavit.
Desha Kala Vibhagavit.
Desha Kala Vibhagavit.
Desha Kala Vibhagavit.
Tansametam Mahabhagan.
Tansametam Mahabhagan.
Upalabhya Vasuttama.
Upalabhya Vasuttama.
Punjayan Asa Dharma Gyo.
Punjayan Asa Dharma Gyo.
Desha Kala Vibhagavit.
Desha Kala Vibhagavit.
Please chant.
Tamsametan Mahabhagan.
Tamsametan Mahabhagan.
Upalabhya Vasuttama.
Upalabhya Vasuttama.
Ujjayam Asa Dharma Gyo.
Ujjayam Asa Dharma Gyo.
Desha Kala Vibhagavit.
Desha Kala.
Ujjayana Sadharma Gyo.
Ujjayana Sadharma Gyo. Shrimati Bhagavate.
Tam
Sametam Mahabhagam.
Upalabhya
Vasuttamam.
Them.
Sametan
assembled together.
Mahabhaga,
all greatly powerful.
Upalabhya,
having received.
Vasu Uttama,
the best among the Vasus, Bhishmadev.
Pujayan
Asha,
welcomed.
Dharmagya,
one who knows religious principles.
Desha,
place.
Kala,
time.
Vibhagavit,
one who knows the adjustment of place and time.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Bhishmadev, who was the best among the eight Vasus, received and welcomed all the great and powerful rishis who were assembled there, for he knew perfectly all the religious principles according to time and place. Purport. Expert religionists know perfectly well how to adjust religious principles in terms of time and place. All the great acharyas or religious preachers or reformers of the world executed their mission by adjustment of religious principles in terms of time and place. There are different climates and situations in different parts of the world, and if one has to discharge his duties to preach the message of the Lord, he must be expert in adjusting things in terms of the time and the place. Bhishmadev was one of the 12 great authorities in preaching this cult of devotional service, and therefore he could receive and welcome all the powerful sages assembled there at his deathbed from all parts of the universe. He was certainly unable at that time to welcome and receive them physically because he was neither at his home nor in a normal healthy condition. But he was quite fit by the activities of his sound mind, and therefore he could utter sweet words with hearty expressions, and all of them were well received. One can perform one's duty by physical work, by mind, and by words, and he knew well how to utilize them in the proper place, and there was no difficulty for him to receive them, although physically unfit. Omaginati medandasya janandana salakaya chaksur umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I am eternally and totally indebted to him, life after life, and beg for service at his lotus feet. Hare Krishna. So we have a very interesting, juicy purport here. Before we get to the juice, the nectar juice and the purport, I thought I would just talk about in the verse. The verse talks about, I'm going to read the verse one more time, perhaps. Bhishmadev, who was the best among the eight Vasus, received and welcomed all the great and powerful rishis who were assembled there, for he knew perfectly all the religious principles according to time and place. So it's mentioned in the verse that Bhishmadev was one of the eight Vasus. So we don't hear much about those eight Vasus. They're mentioned in the Mahabharata. When I was reading over the story about the eight Vasus, what came to mind was the The verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that the actions and interactions of karma are very intricate and very difficult to understand, because this is one of these, you know, it's not the most, there's many other stories that involved way more intricate dealings of action and reaction and karma, but it's got a few little twists in there. So a long, long time ago, there was a great king named Mahavishva. And Mahavishva was a very pious and powerful king who executed many sacrifices. And he had a very long life, so he executed many, many sacrifices. And due to his sacrifices, he was elevated to the abode of King Indra. So there in the assembly of Indra one time, with the demigods present, including Brahma, Ganga Devi came in and just happened to captivate the mind of many of the people, the male members of the audience. And then, what often happens in the heavenly planets in different circumstances, the wind came and blew Ganga Devi's clothes off. And this is why in Kali Yuga, when the ladies wear their saris, they pin them on. Oh, sorry. Blew her clothes off, so all the demigods looked away out of respect. They looked away, except for King Mahavishva, who kept staring at her. He was totally captivated. So Brahma then cursed Mahavishva. You'll have to be born again on earth, but in one lifetime you'll come back. So that's Mahavishva's story. So then he's thinking, even after getting the curse, he's thinking really fast, and he's thinking of all the pious kings that are on the earth, and he requests Brahma, can I please be born as the son of Maharaj Pratipa? Brahma says, okay, because Maharaj Pratipa was very pious, he wanted to be in a pious situation, etc., etc. So then Ganga leaves the assembly. When she's leaving the assembly, then she bumps into the 8 Vasus, who are very dejected and sad. She asks them, ¿Qué pasa? What happened? What's wrong? And they say, they have just been cursed. They have just been cursed by Vasishtha Muni. And their story is, how do you pronounce D-Y-A-U? Diao? Diao? So Diao, Diao, he was the chief of the 8 Vasus, Diao. And he was requested by his wife to take the Kamandalu cow, the Kamandenu cow, Saravi cow, whatever, the Kulpa Vriksha cow, the one who fulfills all desires, that cow, from Vasishtha Muni, and her name was Nandini. And so Diao's wife asked him to do it, and he agreed, and he got his brothers to help him, his 7 brothers to help him. So they went and arranged, and they stole the cow and only enjoyed happiness for a little time, because as soon as Vasishtha Muni, he understood. He didn't see, he didn't hear, he didn't investigate, he just understood by his mystic potency who stole his cow. And he immediately took water, sipped water, and cursed them that they would have to be born on earth. Yeah, that they'd have to be born on earth. So you can see, here we are, cursed, okay. So they'd have to be born on earth. So then they, you know, as usual, when you get a shocking response to your activities like that, a shocking punishment, it kind of brings you to your senses. So they immediately returned the cow with all apologies and everything and asked if they could reverse the curse. And he said, no, we can't. My words never prove false. He said, but all of you will have a very short lifespan on earth, except for Diao, because he was the chief one. He'll have to stay there one life. And not only that, but Diao will have to, he won't have any progeny, and he'll be very powerful, very pious, a knower of the Vedas and everything, but he won't have any contact with women, and he won't have any progeny. But he'll have to remain a full lifetime on earth. So then
So that, so then here's like chapter 3. So chapter 3 is when, okay, hold on, when, yeah, so then the Vasus asked Ganga, can you be our mother? Because we don't want to have any earthly woman be our mother. We want to have, you know, a special lady be our mother. She said, sure. So anyway, so then the story evolves that Mahavishva, remember, he comes as the son of Pratipa, that, and then Pratipa has a son named Santanu. So he takes birth as Santanu. Then when he sees the Ganga again in the course of his life, he's very attracted to her. They agree to marriage. She says, sure, I'll be your wife and I'll obey your command, except you can't question any of my activities. I'll do whatever you say, but don't question any of my activities, and don't speak harshly to me. Remember that one, okay? Don't speak harshly to me, or else I will leave right away.
That's
really, we should have thought of that. So he immediately, because he was so attracted, he thought, no problem, you know, she's a nice lady, no problem. He spent time with her, and after 1 year, the first son was born. The first year went flying by. It was just like a few days to him. The first year went flying by. She gave birth, and he was very happy, and after a few days, she takes the boy and drowns him in the river. But he remembers. He remembers that he can't question or speak harshly, so he just, you know, grins, you know, bites his teeth and bears the difficulty. But, you know, I might be telling it in a funny way or whatever, but you can think of the pain that they're going through, all of these, you know, personalities. So anyway, it happens 7 times. 7 boys are born, beautiful, shining, beautiful baby boys, and within a few days, they're thrown in the Ganges. And so the 8th boy is just about to be born, or he's born, and she's just about to throw him in the Ganges, and he can't bear it any longer. And he says, why are you so cruel? Why are you killing your own sons? You know, I can't bear this any longer. Please stop. And she says, sorry. But, she says, well, the reason that I killed these boys is because she gave him the story. So then he understood. So it's just interesting to see how so many things happen. We don't really understand why they're happening, how they're happening, or why that, you know. But there's something behind everything. Well, so anyway.
Why was she killing them?
Because they were the 8 Vasus. They were the 7 Vasus, remember? And they wanted to go back to the heavenly planet right away. So they asked her to be the mother. She agreed to be the mother, and then she disposed of them in the Ganges so that they could go back to the heavenly planet. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, except for the last one, she didn't kill him because Santanu spoke up. That was Bhishma. And so he lived a life. So she took him to the heavenly planets and trained him up in the military arts and in the Vedas and so many things, and then brought him back as a teenager, all trained up. It's interesting. Those are all of my notes that I didn't have to read in case you were wondering. Yes. So anyway, so then Bhishma takes his birth, you know, he grows up and he has whatever, all the little things, but that kind of puts all the pieces into place, how he acted and why he acted and a lot of things that were there because of previous influences that, and things that he had to go through and whatever. So it's just, it just brings to light how that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, again, how the actions and interactions of karma are very difficult to pull apart and separate and explain and understand, but they have effect on us. So one thing, aside,
a side lesson that we can take from that is to take advantage of the opportunity that we have. I think of that a lot, you know, as time is running out, you know. There's just a little bit left of our lives, you know. Whether you're young or old, none of us really know how much longer we have here. So we somehow or other, by some causeless interaction of the Lord and Srila Prabhupada, we've gotten this opportunity. So let's just, you know, and we might be average or less than average intelligence or whatever, or average or less than average piety, you know, previous piety. But devotional service is so powerful and so beyond piety and impiety, the results of it. So whatever we can do in devotional service, just like yesterday, Tamohar Prabhu was saying, what was the number? 10 million, how many names? 10,960 something names just by chanting 16 rounds. You know, of names of the Lord. So let us take advantage of saying it as many times as we can with as much love as we can and eradicate the mountains and mountains. Although that's not our motivation, right? You know, our motivation shouldn't be to eradicate our sinful reactions. Our motivation should be to try to develop love of Krishna. Let's see. You know, but anyway. Take advantage of many things. Okay, now for the juicy part of the purport, right? So the purport was talking about the beginning of the purport. There was like two parts to the purport. The beginning of the purport was talking about how one who's a preacher, an expert preacher, has to adjust things according to time and place because there's different climatic situations and different customs and different places in the world. And in order to deliver the message of the Lord properly, you have to take that into consideration. So interestingly enough, perhaps, well, my mind immediately raced to all the different things that controversial ISKCON topics of changes and this and that and this and that. But what's Prabhupada talking about, that the adjustment that Bhishma Dev made? Did you catch it? Bhishma made adjustments because he was pinned to the ground with arrows and he couldn't stand up and receive people nicely. That's the adjustment he made. You know, he welcomed them heartily by his gracious words and they all felt very welcome. That's the adjustment that he's made. He's specific adjustment that's being made here as to the adjustments of time and place and circumstance. I mean, he was, as you'd say, you know, completely unable to move, completely unable to, you know, unable to move. And one can imagine the state, how one has to control the mind in a circumstance like that, control the mind from the different waves of pain that might be going through your body at different in a circumstance like that. And still acknowledge every single person that came to visit him with kind words and a heartfelt greeting and heartfelt appreciation. That's quite amazing. It's quite amazing. So, Srila Prabhupada, we can see how Srila Prabhupada on his establishment of ISKCON, how he established things and adjusted the circumstances according to time and place, you know. And but what was his adjustment? He wasn't adjusting the principles of devotional service. He was adjusting the details. So in Nectar Devotion, there's a chapter that explains about the difference between a principle of devotional service and the details of devotional service. So the principle, like one of our Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, that's a principle that we need to hear, chant, remember the Lord. The detail might be that one spiritual master says, chant 64 rounds, you know, and another spiritual master, okay. And another spiritual master says, okay, when Prabhupada told the devotees at first to chant 64 rounds, they said, whoa, whoa, that's too much, you know. And so he adjusted it to 32. Okay, I'll make it easy for you. I'll give you 32 rounds. And then they said, whoa. So he adjusted it to 16. So that, and no less. Always more. If one is able to, one can always chant more, but no less than 16. So he made that adjustment, but he didn't change the principle of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And so therefore, when we take our initiation vows, we're vowing under Srila Prabhupada's guidance to chant 16 rounds minimum every day. And that is potent. It's a potent instruction of the Lord. So there's other things that perhaps you could also think of adjustments Srila Prabhupada made. Another big one that comes to mind is the fact that he allowed women to live in the ashram. And previously that wasn't acceptable, or at least it wasn't in the same ashram. You know, sometimes there's old lady ashrams in some stories, but there wasn't people together in the same, you know, ashram, in the same building, let's say. In the same building. So he adjusted that because he saw in the West there was no way that that would fly, as we'd say. You know, it wouldn't fly. It wouldn't, you know, because of what? Because of our degraded upbringing. We couldn't come to that standard, you know, in such a short time. So he adjusted again. So that was his deep commitment to the process of devotional service and his deep level of realization to know what he could do and what he, and how he could adjust things, you know. And so that's the challenge. And as the time changes, as the world becomes more and more degraded or whatever, progresses, however, whichever way you look at it, perhaps other adjustments might be made or need to be made or whatever. But it's for a person like myself, how's that? For a person like myself, it's a slippery slope to think of adjustments. You know, I don't need to do that. It's not my position, you know. I need to follow as best as I can. So for those that are in any position that they might think they might need to adjust things, we give them all prayers that the Lord guides them nicely. Hare Krishna. You want to say anything? Oh, Varuna Prabhu. Yes. It is question and answer time. Yes, and comment time.
Perpetual state of confusion. So, Mother Ananda, thank you very much. My obeisances to you again and again and again. So, Mother, please hear my plea. King Kulashekhar, he prays, my dear Lord Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down to the stems of the lotus feet of your Lordship and be locked in their networks. Otherwise, at the moment of my final breath, when my voice is choked up with cough, how will it be possible to think of you? So, when I try to recite this prayer, God forbid it comes true. Because, let me put it another way. Like when we chant Hare Krishna, then we're praying for the shelter of the holy name. That Krishna, please give me a drop of the taste of the holy name. Give me some shelter. So I'm kind of like afraid and fearful. I mean, I pray, but it's the fear is that I'm a materialist, basically. And I'm attached to paying my bills. I'm attached to my loving, caring wife. I'm attached to my beautiful sister who I was born with. And now I have a son-in-law. I'm attached to him. So
a son-in-law, interesting. be expanded. Your father expanded. Go ahead.
Yeah, so...
Huh? It's all right.
Son-in-laws, sorry. The other one is not.
It's okay. So we know who you're talking about.
Okay, so Mike, I know it sounds funny, but my question is that what if Krishna gives me shelter of his holy name? Then what will happen to all my attachments?
Oh, my Krishna.
So it's like...
I should have... thank you for that. Thank you for your honest question, you know. Srila Prabhupada's answered that question in different ways. You know, when people ask the question, the similar question in different ways. Sometimes they ask, what if the whole world becomes Krishna conscious? What's going to happen? Prabhupada says, it's not going to be any problem because someone else will come to fill it up. You know, other people will come to fill up the world. And those who take to Krishna consciousness and give up their attachments, let's say, they'll be nicely situated. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Krishna or Prabhupada in the purport, there's no void in Krishna's creation. Okay, there's no void. So it's not like if you take shelter of Krishna and give up all your material attachments, there'll be void. There won't be any void. You won't be able to give up your... What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? We just studied it in our class. That unless you get a higher taste, param drishtva nivartate, unless you get a higher taste for things, you can't give up your lower taste. You can't force it. You might be able to restrain your senses for some time. Okay, I shouldn't do this, whatever. You might be able to do that for some time, but not forever. Unless you get a higher taste, just like an example, the classic example is Haridas Thakur. Because when Maya Devi herself personified came to tempt him, he wasn't thinking, "Oh, I better get my rounds." You know what I mean? He was absorbed. He was absorbed in Krishna so much so that it wasn't a temptation for him. So if Krishna, heaven forbid, gives you shelter at his lotus feet, heaven forbid that you don't get shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. It's not going to be like void. You're gonna have such a higher taste. You're gonna look, you, not somebody else. You are gonna look at those other attachments and think, little crumbs, little pieces of grass, little straw in the street. You know the taste won't be there. It's not like you'll be imbued with love of Godhead. And you'll be thinking, what about... No, you'll be so absorbed. You'll be just fine. You'll be just fine. And now the question is, maybe Sukadeva has a further comment, but other than that, the question is there any questions according to the class that I just gave? No, I'm sorry.
It's about the holy names.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, thank you, Varuna. Hare Krishna.
I was just going to say that our illusion is that we're taking care of somebody, but actually Krishna's doing it through us. That's what makes it easy for me to think, you know, like right now I'm taking care of, you know, my husband, my children, but actually it's Krishna doing it, and if I wasn't here, somebody else would do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's often, just like oftentimes people, another example that Prabhupada gives is about politicians. Politicians or anybody who has a responsible position, you know, they're thinking, you know, if I don't do it, no one's going to do it. And then also they think, no one else is going to do it as good as me. Even if someone else does it, they're not going to do it as good as me or whatever. But you know what? Life goes on. It goes on. And most likely, somewhere in among a person's associates, there's somebody just waiting for you to get out of the way so that they can do it better. But we're in the way. You know what I'm saying? Can you hold that thought for a second? Did you want to say something, Radha Charan? Okay. All right. Okay, whatever. We'll give it to Varuna then. It'll come around. Thanks.
My second question is, so So can Krishna actually give me shelter? Like, is that possible? Like, you know.
The question, that's not the question. Can Krishna actually give him shelter? The question is, when are you going to be ready to accept the shelter that Krishna's offering? Okay, so pray for that. How's that, okay? Yes, you know, to answer your question, won't you know the answer? Yes, he can give you shelter. Not only can he give you shelter, it's not that he just has room for you either. You know what I mean? And I'm not, you know, he's got room for all of us. And every, you know, he's got room for everything, you know. So the question isn't, can he give us shelter? The question is, when are we going to see the value of taking shelter? When are we going to see that actually everything's already orchestrated by the Lord, and I'm the one who's the blind person thinking that I can see, oh yeah, I can see everything really clearly. Just like I can see every, I can see you really clearly now that I don't have my glasses off. Now I forgot the point. We're thinking that we're seeing things, or just like Sukadeva was saying, we're thinking we're giving shelter, we're paying the bills, we're doing this. In a second and a half, that can all change. And still, either the bills get paid or they don't get paid. You know, and life will go on. Somebody's life will go on if it's not our life. Madhava Tika. And not only that, but life has gone. How many times have we already done this, Varuna? How many lives have we already supported a family in different shapes and sizes and ways and countries and, you know, and forms? We've done it unlimitedly millions of times, and still we're not tired of it. That's one of the amazing. That's a new amazing thing.
In regards to your class. When you're talking about Bhishma Dev lying down there and welcoming everybody, I was thinking about Yamaraj Prabhu when he left his body.
Oh yeah.
And I remember everybody coming into his room, and he was welcoming everybody.
Really?
With a smile on his face and acknowledging, and he was in pain with it,
yeah,
his cancer and everything. Yeah. So. Just thinking about Yamaraj Prabhu. As far as the same point, you're talking about Prabhupada adjusting things, and I was thinking there were other things I kind of forget now, but one of the things I was thinking that how, you know, traditionally temples are built, you know,
oh,
the deities.
Yes.
And Srila Prabhupada wanted that, because even in the letters that he's writing, his godbrothers initially is about, you know, build a temple and like that, you know. But he adjusted. He bought buildings,
yeah,
and, you know,
yeah,
and that was a big adjustment. Another adjustment, I was thinking that, and he mentions that how that he may be, or he is criticized for doing so, and that is arranging marriages for his disciples
as a
sannyasi.
Yeah.
Many adjustments that
many,
he had made.
Many adjustments, yeah, according to someone who's a strict follower of Vedic culture.
Exactly.
Know? And then, and by that experience, being a strict follower of Vedic culture, they're not able to think of how to spread Krishna consciousness all around the world.
Otherwise, yeah.
But someone who's what? Imbibed the message of the Lord, that the holy name is potent, that, you know, mm-hmm, chant the holy name and it will do all the rest, you know. Then that was, you know, his, Prabhupada's amazing conviction that, mm-hmm, you know, and the order of the spiritual master. Just follow the order of the spirit. And whether, and then his, Srila Prabhupada's total detachment. Mm-hmm. Whether I'm successful or not, I'm going to execute the order of the spiritual master. If you want me to dance, I'll dance. If not, just take me back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for the class.
Anything else? We're going to,
no.
Did I interrupt?
No. I mean, I was, another thought did come to my mind is that when he sent the boys out on book distribution, and the ladies also wanted to go out, and again, Prabhupada made the, you know, that's not usually done, but because they're as good as their brothers, that, you know, he,
yeah,
said that
yeah,
was fine.
Yeah,
yeah, just feel very, I just feel very thankful for being in this body and being and Prabhupada making those adjustments for us. Yeah. We feel very grateful for Srila Prabhupada for doing so.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Make women Brahmins that they can dress in most of the temple of the women are dressed in the beach.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. The part about the Acharya's adjustment. Is it like they have an inner connection with the Lord in a sense that causes them to be compassionate to the others? Bhakti is the nature of bhakti to make that person. And that's where the adjustment comes, or adjustment is like separate quality that not... Because when you're saying the acharyas, or the purport, I don't remember exact sentence. So the reason I'm saying, like for an example, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he never gave Brahma Gayatri to the... until Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, non-Brahmana never got Brahma Gayatri. He's the one who started, but he never gave to the ladies. And Prabhupada started another one that he gave to the Matajis. So I'm just thinking, like, was it like in India, the compassion was like, was not, I mean, was there, I'm sure, with Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, but he was like adjusting that I should not give to non-Brahman because it may create, or how, what does this adjustment mean? In other words, in related to our practical situation?
That's a hard question to answer. But we can go, you know, specifically. When you were speaking, what I thought of what I read recently in that Prabhupada Today that comes in your email every day, recently there was a thing where Prabhupada had said that in the guest house, in the ISKCON guest house, they could serve tea and bidi just because Prabhupada wanted the people to come and stay in the guest house. And if they were feeling too much discomfort, then they and so the devotees were shocked, and they said, "We should serve it." And he said, "No, you can have a little stand in the guru. You know, this is Vrindavan." And so by the Gurukula, maybe there's a little stand where they could, a shop where they could get their tea and their bidi and something else, I can't remember. You know, but they'd be able to, and he said, this was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj's mandate, you know, that just to get people to come to the temple, that would be, that adjustment could be. Now, specifically back to your question, what is the adjustment and how do you know? That's where you have to really pray, you know, and understand what the principle and what the detail. What's the difference between the principle and the detail of the time and place. And my realization is paper thin, so I don't have, and neither do I have to think about that. Hey, thank you, Krishna. So I don't think about it. Okay? But you can ask more of your associates and you'll get a good answer.
Well, just to... Prabhupada said utility is the principle.
And purity is the force. So all of them together, nothing can be... You know, nothing can be... I'm sorry.
Also that famous story, Bhaktisiddhanta, that the guy was addicted to smoking cigarettes. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, "We'll get you the best tobacco. Just walk over there when you smoke it." And that's what happened, and he gave him his mercy, and of course the devotee quit smoking, but that was his mood. He also supplied shoes on parikrama, which everybody said, "You got to go barefoot." Yeah. Bhakti Sana said he...
Yeah, there's a reason for it, I'm just intervening.
Go ahead.
Because I deserve that story. That
very little.
When Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur was speaking, he noticed that every few minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, he walks out. And it disturbed him. So he asked the disciple, "Why this man is walking out?" So he is addicted to the smoking.
Yeah.
So tomorrow you bring the tobacco here so he never leaves. I want him to hear.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, that's a legitimate, I mean, because he was compassionate.
Yeah.
He didn't care.
He was so liberal. Everybody said, "You can't go on parikrama and wear shoes. It's offensive."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he supplied cloth shoes so people to facilitate.
Yeah.
Utilities principle. Prabhupada could see what he had to do.
Yeah.
And he said, look at our temples. All the deities are being dressed by women in this part of the world. Now in India, that's a whole
another
different
story.
Caveman back. Situation.
But that's okay because that's the circumstance.
And that's okay.
Yeah. That's the circumstance and the culture that they've been, you know, that they're.
But involved. Can you imagine if we didn't have Prabhupada? No, I mean, this is just one little point about millions of other points.
Div.
Prabhupada said, here's what? Here's Krishna. Here's fallen jivas. Let's get them together. And that's what he did.
And let's say the thing, go a little further. If it's left to every Bhakta Dick and Bhakta Harry to decide what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and should I take acid or should I not take, you know what I mean? That'll be a whole mushmash. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, aligning everything. Purity is the force, principle. Utility is the principle. Purity is the force. You know, understanding the and that takes deep realization. That's not whimsical. It's not a whimsical. We're not presenting this for everyone to whimsically accept, to whimsically decide, well, I should only chant three rounds or whatever. That's not whimsical. Those adjustments take deep realization and understanding what needs to be done. And if you're on that level, that's okay. And if you're not on that level, just swallow and you'll be fine.
I was just thinking about talking about the acharyas, what they do. I mean, what kind of decisions they make. We know Srila Bhaktisiddhanta actually said to make arrangements for when he was getting them to come to, was it Mayapur, to make non-veg.
Yeah.
I mean,
for that governor.
For the
governor, or whoever.
Like,
it was.
And the people and the his disciples in the ashram, they were like.
Yeah.
How could you do that, Guru Maharaj? I mean, how could you do that? And here is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and this is what he said, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, these are like pretty, you kind of understand their level of compassion.
Yeah.
That's what I see, their level of compassion, that they're willing to go so beyond everything to bring them to Krishna somehow, give them Krishna. Just their level of compassion.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not easily imitated. No. We can't imitate that, you know, without having that.
Can I just ask one thing?
Certainly.
Because I just love the comment about this.
When Sridhar Maharaj, Prabhupada, Godbrother mentioned this, that when the idea of meat from the Calcutta hotel to be brought for Lord Anderson, who was the governor. It was such a big deal because nobody knew birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So then when he told, he asked Bhaktisiddhanta, how could he do this? I mean, whole world would be criticizing. He said, we are following Radharani. Do you know the mood of Radharani? She would buy all the time, every way, any way to please Krishna, whatever it takes. Yeah. To promote Mahaprabhu's place and Mahaprabhu's glory, we'll do anything. That is our mood. Wow.
Okay, so right before we end, thank you for that. But right before we end, I'm going to read these, there's a couple of comments.
Please.
From Saudia E. Relationships aren't Maya. We have eternal loving relationships in the spiritual world. Okay, and then she also says, our problem is that we are the enjoyer and the proprietor of others and things. Rather, our problem, you know, is that we think that we're the enjoyer. Rather, our enjoyment comes from Krishna's enjoyment. Yeah. Okay, just wanted to mention that. Thank you. Oh, wait. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very kindly. Glory to the Lord. Bunch of couples with you. Jack, you both seem to be in the chat if you can.